No, he's a good dad, and I respect that he wants to have, you know, control his own destiny and control his own money, and not just, you know, not get his son a license. You know, he wants not just get a shoe deal. He wants to actually, you know, get his brand license. The brand sucks. They need to get somebody to remake the logo. They need a whole, they need a rebranding, change the name and all that shit.
Yeah.
Make a 1B. Just make a 1B, like, just call it Ball. Whatever. They need to do something, because that big baller brand sucks.
Yeah, the logo, yeah, it's a little sucks. Cheesy.
Yeah, not just cheesy. It reminds me of, like I said, when you go to TJ Maxx, that those off-brand clothes that TJ Maxx, like, yeah, the fucking, yeah, Big Dog and the fucking all the old and one t-shirts. It, yeah, sucks. Yeah. And then he's annoying as shit. And then I read the article. You read the articles about him? About how he's he fucked over the high school coach?
Yeah. He's
a real fucking dickhead. I don't like him. And people say, oh, he's a good coach. I said, no, it's not about anything with his son or anything. He seems like one of those people. If I knew him in real life, I'd be like, what a fucking asshole. I wouldn't want to talk to him. He's just one of those kind of people.
I think that the more that he reveals himself as a persona, I think the more that I agree with you. Mm-hmm. At first, I just thought, like, you know, he's so bombastic and out there, like, but it's sort of...
Oh, it's fun. We need personalities like that, which everybody keeps saying. And then the more I see him, the epitome of him is when he was walking on the First Take, one of those shows.
Oh, yeah, and he's got that, like, swagger thing going on.
That stupid fucking walk, that big shit-eating grin. I'm like, what a fucking... he's just so fucking annoying.
What do you think about that Nike exec that said that he's like the worst thing that's ever happened to basketball?
At the other end of the spectrum, that's just complete hyperbole. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but do you like get it though? I mean, like,
I retweeted. Because guess what? There was a college coach that when his player got shot by his roommate, the college coach tried to get it cover up and lie and said the guy who got shot was a drug dealer. You remember that?
No.
You remember it happened down in Texas. I think the kid's name was Denny, something Denny. The two roommates, for whatever reason, one of them was like psychotic, ended up shooting the guy. And the coach found out about it, and he told the other players, we got to tell, you know, let's get it out that he's a drug dealer. And so this is something else. Yeah, this is the coach. So, no, that's not the worst thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think he meant like in terms of sports marketing, right? Because like...
And then say that. Then say that. Don't say it's something. So
well, he's a Nike exec, right?
Okay. Well, my point is, it does come across as here's a black man trying to control keep the fate of his son and his son's brand and money. And you're saying he's the worst thing to happen ever. It does have a. I can see when people as almost a not plantational kind of thing, but as a look, they're calling me a black man trying to do something for himself. The worst thing to happen is to the sport.
Yeah.
I think the guy meant it the way you meant it. I think you're absolutely right. He just meant as far as sports marketing. I think that's what he meant as far as, you know, this guy's a fucking clown. But
I don't know. It's almost got like tinges of both. It almost is like, well, you're screwing with tradition and like big white business, but it's also like this guy's a clown. It's I understand why he's the topic of conversation, honestly. I think I would like him if I had confirmation that what he was doing, he was self-aware about, you know, and he was just
I don't like loudmouths. I just don't like loudmouths. And it's one thing if you're like occasionally a loudmouth, like Dre. Draymond's a loudmouth, but he also can just like have a regular conversation with Dre about basketball and shit. That guy is constantly on, and that just annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah, but like, what if that but that's sort of his job in a way. It sounds like that's who he is as a human being.
And fuck him. Then I don't like him as a person. Then fuck him.
Okay. But like, what if he, when you did get him one-on-one, if he was fuck like, him.
If his whole thing is that I'm going to do this every chance I get, I don't need to know what he's like behind closed doors. I've seen enough of him. Fuck him.
I mean, it's like, so do you like Stephen Colbert?
But Stephen Colbert is actually like funny and insightful. And
he's no, but I mean, back when he was on the Colbert Report, though.
I mean, he will sit down and do like a regular interview and talk to people. And then he'd joke, but he wouldn't just the whole time. Bah, 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 bah. So, no.
Yeah.
This was, you know what I like? This is, you just ground my gears. What grounds my gears? Like when people say, how can you like this, but you didn't like this?
Well, no. I was trying to say, if it was just an act. Because I like the idea of someone taking onus over their own destiny in that way. I'm cool with that. I'm sort of like, well, you want me to be this? I'll be this. Like, that concept I'm comfortable with and I can appreciate on a certain level, right? Like, Lady Gaga didn't try to get into pop music as Lady Gaga. She, you know, was just like whatever her real name is, and record executives were just like, get the fuck out of here. Who cares who you are? And then she came back as Lady Gaga wearing dresses made out of meat, and they were like, this is great. Like, we can sell this. So
yeah, but I mean, there's a huge difference between like pop and entertainment on stage and that kind of shit where you gotta have a shtick. And basketball, and his son's like, and that's what's really killing me. He's charging $495 for a pair of shoes, and we don't even know if his son's a good pro yet.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I get it. He wants to, this is what I don't understand. You can still own your brand, your big baller thing, but let your son get a shoe deal and make his millions now, and let that deal run out in 3 or 4 or 5 years, and in the same time, take that money that he's making, and now you throw it back into your company and develop your shoes, and then once he's good and he's an all-star, your shoes come out. I guess that's what I'm thinking. Or just have your big baller brand, your brand. I don't know if you can do this. Make your shoe deal where you also say, well, he's gonna have a lifestyle shoe, his big baller brand lifestyle shoes, but he's gonna play in your shoes. Something. I don't know. It's whack, dude. It's whack because, you know, you only have so much earning power, and he's fucking making him and his son doing these stupid ass shoes.
He tweeted earlier.
You can't afford the big baller brands because you broke. You're not a baller.
It was something that actually made me think. It was sort of like everyone thinks stuff like this is dumb until it's like Nike or whatever. But it was phrased better than that. It was something intelligent. I wish I could find it. I can't.
Yeah,
but
you got to find it. Let me know that.
Here's what I think. It sort of frustrates me because I think that this whole thing is ultimately going to be self-destructive. But like the real problem is that you're hampering your son from getting a huge shoe deal with like a real company. But like the argument for him being a good guy is if that Nike marketer guy is like, this is the worst thing that could happen because Nike's owned by like a bunch of rich white dudes and we need to make the money. But if big baller brand comes and, you know, this becomes a thing where, you know, instead of going to shoe companies, what?
Nobody's scared of big baller brand.
No.
Nobody is.
Like I'm just saying, well, so what if Lonzo Ball though, what if Lonzo Ball ends up being like Kobe, like just an amazing player? I mean, he'll sell shoes, right?
He's not. We need to put a bet on this. He's going to be a good player.
I think that it actually, he's not going to be like LeBron where he's so amazing. He'll like control his fate. I think that he could end up being like a really, really good player in the right system.
That's not what you put a number 3 pick on.
Well, but hypothetically, right? Like, let's say that he is like a generational player. People will buy his shoes, even if it's big baller brand, right?
I guess.
I mean,
he's not going to be though. Well, I mean, sure, he's not going to be.
Well, like, so let's say for a second, right? That.
So this is my thing. Let me ask you this though. Like Jason Kidd, generation player. Nobody was buying Jason Kidd's.
Well, right.
I don't. And that's what he's supposed to be, right?
He's supposed to be
like another. Like, no one's going to buy.
Yeah, but like
Anderson was. Yeah. Kenny Anderson was a really good player. Nobody's buying Kenny Anderson's. I mean, he's. I don't think he's going to be. And if he is close to being Isaiah Thomas is great, right? He's been great. He's been great for 2 years now.
It's more than that. I mean, like Steph Curry, his shoes like struggle for some reason, even though he's like one of the best players.
They're not good shoes. That's my whole point. You made my point. These big baller brand aren't nice shoes. They're not nice shoes. They're not very good shoes. Look at them. They look cheap.
Huh?
Patent leather and freaking snakeskin? No, they're not very nice shoes. And someone else said,
wait, are you talking about the big baller brand shoes or Steph Curry shoes?
The big baller brand shoes.
Yeah, they're really lame.
But guess what? I think they look better than Curry's. Curry's aren't nice shoes. Curry does not have nice shoes at all.
They both have that sort of feel about it. You know,
it's that cheesy
like department store, yeah.
And that's my point. So look at Steph Curry. Steph Curry's not selling shoes, even though I know, you know, relatively he sold all right, but he's getting.
So what if he had a really slick shoe? Would he sell? What if you had Russell Westbrook selling the same shoe, and then in an alternate universe, Steph Curry selling that shoe? They're both slick. Doesn't Russell Westbrook sell more?
I would think so, because Russell Westbrook's more of the rock star.
That's what I'm saying.
But Lonzo's not the rock star. What is that? It has nothing to do with Lonzo. It's his father with a big mouth. No one's buying shoes because his dad has a big mouth.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting idea if it wasn't executed by like a clown. Like to just say, you know what, Nike, this we don't need you.
Let him even a shoe deal, right? Let him hit the league. Let him do his thing. Let him get a couple of rookies of the month under his belt. Let people see he can play.
Well,
because right? if you do all this for the big baller brand and he turns out to be like a fucking, I don't think he's going to be very good. I think he'll be okay. So now you got this okay player with these kind of okay shoes. What are you doing?
Here's what I think is freaking out the Nike execs, right? The idea that a very talented young basketball player would, instead of going and getting a Nike contract, just create his own brand, cut out Nike as a middleman, get his own designers, and do all of that, and then Nike's not a part of it, and it would be, and let's say it was a crazy success, and then it started to be a thing, that players would just create their own brand. You know, there would be like Lillard shoes instead of like Nike's Lillard shoes, right? That I think that that's the fear, and I don't think that Big Baller is going to be successful, but I think that Nike's afraid of the next, you know, LeBron James, the next LeBron's dad, and LeBron, they just say, okay, we're going to create like a brand that isn't crap and like sell our own shoes. And
this is the thing, like, you know, LeBron has like a lifetime $1 billion fucking deal with Nike, right?
Right, right. Yeah, no.
LeBron is in the fold. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's Nike, yeah.
Well, I just mean like the next like big player up, you know?
I think that the machine of the big shoe companies is probably secure enough. Sure. Did they want Lonzo on the team? All right, but we're not going to license your shit. I mean, they weren't going to give him, you know, a $1 billion deal.
Yeah, but what if he was Michael Jordan, though?
Like, but he's not.
Yeah, no. I'm saying they're afraid of the next Michael Jordan coming and doing this and not being incompetent.
I think they're pretty secure in the fact that Lonzo Ball and his father are not the norm. And even if his father's doing all this histrionics, they, let's be real, from a kind of bad background, they come out of college and they dangle, hey, we're going to give you, you know, $30 million for the next 6 years to be our fucking athlete. Those guys are snapping that shit up.
Yeah, but...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it just takes one to disrupt that, you know?
No, it doesn't. Because when the machine is as powerful as Nike and Adidas and Reebok, one guy can do what the fuck he wants to, and his shoe's going to fucking fizzle the fuck out. It's not going to sell well. I don't think it's... Look, it sounds like people have been kind of downing him and dissing him. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to do very well.
Oh, I don't either.
And so that's my whole point. It's going to be a blip on the radar, and then guess what? The next Fultz is going to get his shoe deal and be happy. So it's, and even like MJ came out, Generation, guess what they do? We're going to give you your own imprint, your own fucking shoe. You're not a Jordan athlete. You're not a Nike athlete. You're a Jordan athlete.
Yeah. I think that that's what they're afraid of, except that it's not under Nike. Yeah,
I don't think they're afraid at all, man.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think they're afraid.
Something that they've considered as like a disrupting force, but like I think that ultimately you're right, they've got it on lock.
Yeah, I think they're just, I mean,
but it's like the more if players start doing this, like not with shoes, but they start creating their own brand identity themselves, then like, you know, even if it's just like 5,000 t-shirts, you know, with like an insignia that is not in any way Nike. What?
These companies, like Nike, makes it worth their while. If they come to them and say, hey man, we got this shirt design, blah blah blah, Nike's gonna fuck them, like, let's do it, bro. Let's do it.
Yeah.
If they come to them, hey, I have this brand and I want to do that, Nike's not gonna do it, and that's fine because it takes so much money to start that kind of shit up. Most people don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know what and I'm LeVar Ball, yeah. Like if he had like gone to the table and said, like, you know, here's the shoe we want, and like lay down like a sick looking shoe, here's the brand, it's like something that isn't stupid, like, and all this stuff, Nike would have not like laughed him out and been like, you're an idiot, if he actually wasn't an idiot.
That's the thing, it's not just about the design, right? He wanted to fucking have Big Baller brand on it, just like the thing with his t-shirts, and they're like, fuck, we're not doing this shit, bro, we're not licensing your shit. So
yeah,
like, I don't know, man. He just annoys the shit out of me, and I don't think people are trying to tell me, oh, you know, they exploit young black men. No, they make them multimillionaires. And it's, if you're saying that, you know, but you watch college basketball, you're a fucking hypocrite because they exploit young black men.
Oh, God. These, I hate these, the NCAA, man.
These are young black men getting paid millions to you know, for $1 billion corporation. That's just how.
Well, I think the criticism of the shoe industry is not on the producer end, it's on the consumer end. So Lonzo Ball, like LaVar Ball is actually exactly what you don't want, which is like, okay, well, how are you going to get $500 to buy a pair of shoes like this? Well, like sell drugs.
I was just reading on Twitter. They said he sold like 4,000 pair already.
I mean, like,
I don't think that's like a really good amount of sales though. I mean, so that's why
I could use 4,000 times 500. That's
yeah, but like how much did it cost to make these shoes? And again, why are you charging $495 for these shoes? And just saying because I can doesn't seem like a really good business model. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's dumb. Seem like a really good business
model. So let me see. Like, I want to know how many, I want to find out how many shoes KD sells in a day. That's what I want to find out. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it would be really interesting if someone did this but wasn't like a dumbass. I guess I would like to see someone go up against Nike and say, you know what, we don't need to cut you in. We don't need you. We're going to create our own brand, our own website, sell our own stuff, have it not be a crappy brand, have the stuff be slick, and have the athlete be a little bit better.
I guess my main thing is like, there's nothing compelling about LaVar Ball. There's nothing that makes me like want to root for him. There's nothing that makes him interesting other than his big mouth, which is not really something to be interested in. That's my problem with him. You know what I mean? And then
Do you like Kanye? Do you like Kanye West?
I don't like Kanye West.
Oh, I like Kanye. Reason.
It's like, dude, I get it. You make good music. You want people to listen. You're bombastic. You're loud. I don't appreciate that. If you got to keep somehow great you are, then fuck you. I don't mean you got to be humble. Not at all. Russell Westbrook's not humble. NBA players aren't humble. I love that. It's just the fact that he's a whiny kind of, I'm so great. Why don't more people appreciate me? Why don't you do this? Oh, you're not letting me do this. It's like, no, your clothing design sucks, dude. No, they're trying to keep me out because I'm black. They don't want to be great. I'm a genius. He's so fucking annoying to me.
Well, I mean,
that's Kanye to me.
The difference there is that, like, I think that Kanye is a genius, though, you know, like,
and that's fine. Don't stop telling people you're a fucking genius.
Well, stop, I mean, shut up. That's part of it. I mean, he's like psycho. But look, yeah. I like Kanye, but don't like LaVar because at least Kanye's really, really good at something, you know?
Oh, plus they're two, you don't have to explain it. They're two totally different people.
Well, but I like his bombasticism. You know, like, I'm cool with being cocky if you're really amazing at something. Kanye is an amazing producer. It's incredible. He's maybe the best hip-hop producer ever, honestly.
Yeah, he's all right.
I mean, I think Jay-Z's best album was produced by Kanye, and the Blueprint 3, you know, that was the one with In New York, right? You know what I'm talking about? All right,
buddy. It's good talking to you.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
I do, but the fact you just sung that shit.
I'm not a good singer, man. But
at all.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. I'm looking at this one now. $180.
For what?
These are like these are KD8s.
KD8s, like Kevin Durant?
Oh, yeah. He has some fucking dope shoes. I got 3 pair, and I fucking love them.
Look, the Big Baller brand is super dumb.
That's so whack, dude.
What do you think about Lonzo's logo, though? I kind of like it. I mean, it's not great. It's all right. It's okay.
In fact, there's still a Big Baller right there, dude.
Well, there's a little Z thing.
Yeah, his logo on the back of the shoe, it's not bad. But then the patent leather field is kind of whack, dude.
And also, it's like huge on the back. You know?
They look so they look cheesy, man.
Yeah.
I respect them for trying, but they look fucking cheesy. And that's why I keep saying this. I don't hope he fails, so I'm not wishing ill on him, but I'm not supporting that shit.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, like, I have the word baller in Almighty Baller, right? When I started Almighty Baller, it was a blog for me to put stuff on every once in a while, and it's like a pun about Almighty Dollar, right?
I know. I figured that out.
Yeah, if I had branded a podcast network and expected it to actually be as big as it is right now, I wouldn't have had Baller in the name. I think that it's kind of lame. I sort of wish that I'm eventually going to rebrand as Almighty Media, which I think is kind of cool. But Baller is a little much, I think, honestly. So
it's not bad.
it's not as bad as Big Baller Brand, but it's similarly a little bit cheesy. So I guess the point I'm making is that you're not disruptive to Nike until you are, right? And like, I'm sure that ESPN wishes that, I hope, right, that like 2 years from now, ESPN is thinking to themselves, gee, I wish that we had done podcasts as well as Almighty Media did. And I can like at least empathize on that level with the whole Big Baller thing, because I sort of like the idea of being like, you know what, like, I don't need you, ESPN. Like, I'll start my own podcast network and like have it actually work, you know?
And that's dope. Yeah, but that's different though, because you
podcast. You have to like do a good job of it and like be good at things though.
That's my whole point.
That's my issue. I like the concept of a player sort of starting their own thing, creating their own brand, doing like do it yourself. And I think that in a way that would be threatening to Nike. But if you're going to have it be cheesy and crappy like Big Baller, then it just doesn't work.
Yeah. You gotta start giving me fucking credentials.
Is that something that you want?
Oh yeah, I go up to games in LA.
Do you want? You're in LA.
I'm in San Diego.
The Lakers would not work out. Like maybe the Clippers, especially if they lose Blake Griffin and Chris Paul.
I think Blake Griffin's gone.
What would you do if you were Blake Griffin and you know, like the owner or whatever said, like, look, we agree we should trade you, but let us give you $5 million or a 5-year contract first because you have all these injury risks and stuff. Like, sign with us. We'll be looking to move you by the trade deadline and you'll get a long contract with higher raises. Like, you'll get your supermax. And then we don't lose an asset for nothing. Like, what would you say to that?
They're kind of fucking themselves if they do that though.
Why?
Because now you're trying to trade 5 years of Blake Griffin for good money.
If I was a team, I would be salivating over Blake Griffin because
that's the type of gamble
you have to take, man.
What kind of money are you talking?
I'm talking like full max, man.
People aren't taking that gamble.
Really? I think that any team in the league would
injuries, give. The injuries, dude. And I mean, look what happened. Look what happened with just Chandler Parsons and his $100 million.
I still think that was worth the risk though, right?
I mean, you could say that, but the point is they have $100,000 tied up in a guy who can't even play.
Yeah, but like,
and that's one thing. That's one thing. I mean, $100 million. That's $100 million, and you already got two other stars. What do you want to swing for the fences? And now you're paying Blake Griffin $180 million for 5 years. I think he's good. I think he's at his best. He's worth that. But
so what if you're what if you're the Celtics?
I don't want him. Not for Max. Nope.
Wouldn't you feel bad though if he was like, if he got back?
Nope. Because what do we need? We need shot blocking, and we need rim protection, and we need rebounding, and we need another creator. He fits a creator mold. He doesn't fit any of the rest of them.
Well, I think that if you got Blake Griffin, you trade Al Horford. I think Al Horford is already a trade chip.
So then guess what? Now you've made an improvement. Like, you've taken two steps forward or three steps forward. No, four steps forward. You took two steps back. So you got better.
Yeah.
You got better, but is it, it? I don't think you got.
Dude, Blake Griffin is really great.
He sure is. So is Al Horford. And yes, Blake is better than him. But I mean, I'd rather pay. Al Horford's already there, and he plays fits well. Sure, you trade him for. What do you move Al Horford for now?
Okay, could you see Blake Griffin being the best player on a championship team?
No.
Okay, but wasn't there a point in his career where you thought that, though?
No.
Really? Even when he was like...
Okay.
Like, his rookie
third,
year was...
He finished third, no, in 2014. I just wrote about him. Do you read what I wrote about him?
No.
Yeah, you're a piece of shit. 2014, he finished third in MVP voting, and he was averaging... No, he looked like he was ready to break out, and then, you know, then I think he's plateaued since then. So there's a difference between when you're 24 and you're playing like you're going to be a Hall of Famer, and then you're 26, 27, and you haven't reached that point. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, 24, I would have been all in on that when he had room to grow, and I thought he's going to be a top 5 player for years to come. I did, and he played like it. And now I watch him, and he can't post up Gordon Hayward, and I watched him kind of just, you know, float through games at times.
Okay, but there was a point where you thought he was going to be a top five player.
Again, that's when you're 24. When he's 27, he's not that kind of player. Then I mean, you sooner or later, as like, it's one thing when you're 3 years in and you think, oh wow, the sky's the limit. It's another thing when you're 6, 7, 8 years in.
And you're, I think, not, you got to take gambles like that. Yeah. You know?
I don't gamble on players at 28 suddenly switching and becoming top five players.
Well, I mean, if injuries was, I mean, I don't know.
It's not all injuries, right? Because it's not all injuries.
Well, all recoverable injuries, I think. You know,
and so that's another thing. Like let's be real. He's already lost some of what made him great. That bounce,
right? Yeah, you would be crossing your fingers that we're wrong, right? I think he's probably permanently altered, and he'll be like Zach Randolph, probably caliber for the rest of his.
No, he's gonna be better than Zach in a lot of ways. He's gonna be better than Zach.
No, I think offensive power forward, about 20-22 points a game, right? Like, not a good defender.
I think playing with Chris Paul, he has stunted his growth.
I totally agree about that.
I don't know if he could ever make it back up. I think it's great to say, oh, now he's not Chris Paul, but you know, that's what he calls stunted your growth. You're never going to get that back. You know what I mean?
No, I think he still has. Well, okay, and here's another thing. Honestly, I really think Doc Rivers is not a good coach, and like, Doc Rivers at least should have been staggering the two of them to develop Blake Griffin's playmaking ability. Honestly, like, yes. It makes me really frustrated. I mean, like, you want fucking Jamal Crawford running your bench unit instead of fucking Blake Griffin? Like, is that helpful? Is that good? Like, are you helping the future of the Clippers by making sure that your 36-year-old shooting guard can run a bench system instead of Blake Griffin, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 10 minutes a game of practice. You know, who cares if he would be driving and kicking it out to Austin Rivers and shit? It's like good practice, right?
It's not even that so much as what's done to his growth. It's just the fact that even when you're on the court and you're in the game at critical times, you are not getting to make decisions. You're still at the whims of Chris Paul.
Yeah, but sometimes Chris Paul's injured, though.
Not enough. And that sounds mean. It's just like, you know, sure, Chris Paul missed the games too, and guess what? They play great when Chris Paul's out. Like, Blake has shown that he can, like, step up and, like, be a 25-10-7 guy almost. But I think it comes to a point. It's almost like people said with Russell Westbrook, how he stunted his teammates' growth this year. So even when they did have chances eventually, it was too late. They couldn't do it. And I think that's how it is with Blake now. I think he's still good. You know, hey, good, 23-7 and, you know, 5 assists. It's great.
You got to admit that there's a chance, though, that if you – it's like with James Harden, right? Take him out of L.A., put him in a system built around him.
Harden did that when he was 23, 24, man. I think there's something to be said. Like, sure, there's always going to be incremental improvement once you hit that 27, 28. Like, you know, LeBron's got better every year. That's fine.
What about Steve Nash? LeBron James.
Okay, so I mean, you can show you 50 other players that kind of follow that other role.
One in 50 is the shot that you would be taking. You'd be like, he would be a gamble. I mean, okay, in all likelihood.
Hold on. I said 50. Let's be real. Every player, almost every player, follows the same arc. Once you hit 6 to 7 years in the league and you're about 26, 27, 28, that's who you are. I get it. There's always going to be a Steve Nash. There's going to be a, I don't know, who else? Chauncey Billups. Those guys, like, late bloomers, bounced around. They found a perfect thing. That's fine. Blake Griffin looked like a war. And that's Blake Griffin wasn't that. He's not that guy, because he wasn't just an average guy and all of a sudden he's going to turn. He was already playing at like a all-star, all-NBA level. Can he get that back? Maybe. But like I said, the bounce is already gone. And I don't know.
Well,
I
think maybe is the bounce gone? I mean, I'm not a doctor.
No, it is. I've watched.
Yeah, I agree. I think it probably is, but, you know.
I know it's not gone all the way, so it's not a binary thing, but he's not who he used to be.
So what if you got those, like, Miami Heat super docs there, you know? Whoever made James Johnson into James Johnson. Yeah, like Blake Griffin on the Miami Heat. I mean, that could be interesting, right? What if you could do with Blake Griffin what you did with James Johnson?
I'm not a fan of investing 200 million, 180 million into, well, maybe I can do this. There's a coin flip chance. That's just not me. And that's maybe Pat Riley, the GM, is ballsy enough to do that. I've never been a fan of, well, there's a 1 in 4 chance that I'm going to sink my franchise into this and let's do it.
Well, the downside is that you're paying a little too much for like a Zach Randolph type, right? Like, I mean,
no, not a little too much. You lock in a guy like that in the max contract and he's not a good defender. He's not a strong rebounder. He's a passer, but I don't know, man. I watch him. And I just think I've thought about it, wanting him. There was a time when he was one of my favorite players in the league, and I thought he'd be a top five player. I just said that, and
that's why I wrote an article. What would you rather have, Evan Turner and Alan Crabb or Blake Griffin? Like Evan Turner and Alan Crabb.
Okay, so why would the Clippers accept Alan Crabb and Evan Turner for that contract?
Oh no, I'm just saying that really.
Well, no, we know.
You're talking about two $15 million contracts, right? You know,
when you signed the contract, see, and you're that what you're asking is the statement you're making is just not making sense because
it's not really a statement. I'm just saying that, you know.
No, even hypothetical you're issuing doesn't make sense because when you sign those contracts, you don't know they're going to be this Alan Crabb and that Evan Turner, right? So you do sign them on. You look at their age, Evan Turner's, and their potential to grow, and like you think, okay, so that's fine. But so the idea of what Evan Turner was supposed to be and Alan Crabb was supposed to be, I would rather have that than have this Blake Griffin. Because Alan Crabb is supposed to be a 3-and-D, 12 to 15 point scorer. Well,
Blake Griffin is supposed to be like a super athletic all-star.
But he's not. We know he's not, though.
Yeah, but Evan Turner's not.
But we know that. Oh, see, I don't. That Evan Turner deal was just bad anyway. So yeah, you're right.
Okay,
Evan Turner deal
was bad. Anyway. Yeah. Honestly, that like was that, just stupid. That's where it falls apart. No, but so you're right. I guess I was just saying, like, you know, you would you rather have Al Horford for the next 5 years or Blake Griffin? But there's at least an argument to be made for Blake Griffin, though, right?
Blake has a higher ceiling, but the injuries, man, the injury risk, and I mean.
But if someone said, "I would rather have Blake Griffin," you would understand, right?
I'm getting to that point where I'm not sure, man.
I
would have.
I mean, like, I'm the type of guy. I did a tech startup. I started this network thing and quit my job so that I could make this into a profitable thing. I'm like a risk taker. I would go with Blake Griffin every time. I understand people.
So here's the thing. Let me ask you this about Blake Griffin. He doesn't shoot the three, right? He doesn't shoot the three. He's not a strong rebounder anymore for whatever reason because he'll shoot too many jump shots, I think. The way the NBA is going, as talented and skilled as he is,
I would put four shooters around him, or at least three elite shooters. I would put Kyrie, Kevin Love, and Kyle Korver around him.
You don't have those players. It's always fun to do this, but you're not. Let's try to do it realistically, right?
You're the Miami Heat.
Sure.
Okay.
The Miami Heat.
I would try to move Goran Dragic for Drew Holiday, something like
that. Who's the center in Miami?
Hassan.
Okay, so you're already paying Hassan $100 million.
Okay.
Are you going to trade him?
Hassan?
Yeah.
No.
All right, so you're already fucked. Because you know what the problem is? Now you're playing a traditional offense again.
Well, no. They both have outside touch. Like, they both have that little bit of spacing. Okay, Blake Griffin this year. Dude, do you know what Blake Griffin shot from three this year?
I know, but he didn't shoot him. He didn't shoot him.
He shot three a game after the All-Star break. That's a decent amount. That's enough.
No, it's not. It's not. That's what this is what my problem is.
Like, I mean, LeBron only shoots like two or three. Your hope would be that he would be like one of
the biggest, most athletic players in the NBA.
And that's what you would be hoping you would get from Blake Griffin.
But he's not. He's not. This is the problem when people keep trying to do this thing with like, this is why Dele can work with Giannis. He'll be like, he's not LeBron James. Look what LeBron James is doing right now. You got to stop doing this. It only works when it's LeBron because it's LeBron. We got to stop doing this. Oh,
you can mitigate for a poor scorer. No, Giannis is a good example. Everyone was like, Giannis has to have a three-point shot. If he doesn't get a three-point shot,
guess what? That's why Dele didn't work there. Dele was horrible because LeBron makes everything better, man. He makes everything better.
Look, so everyone was like, Giannis, to take it to the next level, needs a three-point shot. And it ended up not being true because you put the ball in.
No, it is true. Until when Giannis...
Dude...
LeBron, how long has LeBron been the best player in the NBA?
Since
about 2006, 2007, right?
Yeah, about a decade.
He started shooting threes when he got to Miami and like shooting them well. And that's when his game took off. He was the greatest player. He was the best player in the game before that. He started making threes and he became, oh shit, this guy might be one of the greatest players of all time. And he's going to be one of the greatest players. Because now look what he's doing. He can shoot the three comfortably. And that's what opened his game up. I don't care. Giannis is awesome. Until he gets an outside shot, he's going to be awesome. He can be a top five player without one. But until you're saying he's already went up a level and he has ways to go. He's going to even get better. And one of those improvements is going to be he has to get a jump shot. He just has to. Because look what happened against Toronto.
I don't think that's true.
No, you have to. No, you have. There's no way in the modern NBA. You have to be some kind of threat from the outside. You have to be.
I think that spacing is fine.
It's not fine.
As long as you only have one guy who is occupying the paint, like a center. You can have one center who can't spread the floor, and then whoever has the ball sometimes, like if you're just amazing, if you're Ben Simmons, or what we hope Ben Simmons will be, if you're Giannis, if you're LeBron, if there's...
Stretching out the 18
if
feet,
you're
not,
like,
it's not spacing.
It's not spacing if you're the Chicago Bulls.
No, it's not spacing. It's not spacing. So like you're saying, like Blake and you're saying Blake and fucking dickhead's name in Miami. You're like, oh yeah, they both can shoot a little bit. There's no, and I get you're saying Blake is he's shown that he can when he has his feet set and he has time with that slow ass jump shot, he can hit him. Right, that's fine. He's not a floor spacer.
I think that's enough.
No, it's not. It's just not. It's not. Like tonight we just watched Dre go, 5-8 from three? You know,
I mean, like, what about, like, Draymond Green, right? Like, that's how they mitigate for Draymond Green, like, not being as elite as Steph Curry. He's playing with
the greatest shooters of all time.
Right? You would need to put shooting around Blake
Griffin.
Three
of the greatest like, of all
that's why time. That's why I said Kyrie Irving, Kyle Korver,
be realistic. He's not going to Cleveland.
Okay, well, like, you know, of course, like, Miami wouldn't all of a sudden be a championship team, but Drew Holiday, like, Wayne Ellington, really good shooters. That white guy from the Pelicans, you know, with the long hair. He looks like a hippie.
Didn't even play. Is it Luke?
Oh, yeah, Luke Babbitt.
He didn't even play anymore.
You could have one guy, like, as long as Blake Griffin was, like, the primary ball handler, right? And, like, Dion Waiters, you know, as long as he moves off the ball and also continues hitting 40% of his threes, you can have one guy like Tristan Thompson or like Birdman who's, like, athletic and, like, gets the fuck out of the way if Blake Griffin's driving. And, by the way, Blake Griffin would have to be a top five player. He would have to fully recover from his injuries, and it would have to be a case where it's like, okay, all of a sudden it's like Kevin Garnett, your career's, you know, revived by new circumstances except injury. I realize Kevin Garnett wasn't injured, but I'm just saying, right? He would need to recover from his injuries and be like, holy crap, the holy waters of Miami have healed me. And then, you know, it would be fine. Like, and then whoever's playing point guard would basically need to be Mario Chalmers, except like Petter, right?
See, it's easy. You keep doing this thing, but there's a finite amount of players in the NBA. We know who they are, right?
No, but you're saying, right? You cannot have Blake Griffin as a power forward and have a championship team.
No, you can't.
I disagree.
You can't because
I think that's wrong.
If you have Kyrie, and all I'm saying with real players that you're gonna have. That's what I'm saying. You're doing all this thing about sure.
Well, Rivers could have gone out and just like been not a dumbass. Joe Ingles.
You're doing all this hypothetical shit. We're talking about real shit. Where is he gonna go that you make a championship?
Blake Griffin?
Yeah.
I mean, nowhere.
Okay. So, I mean, what are you doing?
So you would, like, move stuff around. You figure it out.
I think you might have brain damage sometimes.
Like, you know, you what about, like, and the type of team that would need to do this would also need to be, you know, just a team. Like, the Miami Heat are not... how the fuck are the Miami Heat going to get a championship, right? They've given away all of their draft picks for Goran Dragic, which, you know, whatever, man. I guess. I mean, the Suns are going to get their next few draft picks. Like, they have, like, a 20... 21 second round pick basically is like all that they have. Like Miami Heat should get Blake Griffin. If the Heat had an opportunity to get Blake Griffin, like, you would get him, right? Like, what else are you going to do?
I mean, I agree with that. I don't, it's not, well, I mean, that's fine. You made your team a little better.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, you know, you just said about a championship team.
Well, but we're saying hypothetically, and you were the one who said, like, as a matter of principle theory, you cannot have a four who doesn't spread the floor or who doesn't spread it as well as Blake Griffin does.
Not spread the floor. And if you put him beside Hassan Whiteside, you're already just fucked yourself. Now you're playing another traditional lineup. And sure, because it's not about Blake, it's about Hassan. Sure, Hassan, he's shown he has that little 12 footer, but he doesn't shoot it much at all. He's an inside player. He's an interior player. He doesn't shoot it. He's basically a longer DeAndre Jordan, right? And that's what kills the clip. Basically, like
Hassan Whiteside. I don't know. He's actually
what
he shoots like as well as DeMar DeRozan does from mid range, like 44%.
How many of his shots you think are from that range?
Hassan Whiteside. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like two or three a game.
You're being willfully ignorant. So, do you know how much easier it is to shoot 44% on two or three a game?
And it is- oh, yeah, and he's open. Like, they let him take that shot. Like, Anthony Davis, okay? Like, Anthony Davis is, like, you know, a good mid-range jump shooter.
He shoots a lot higher volume than Hassan Whiteside. So, he literally is a good mid-range jump shooter. This is my thing. Like, even started shooting threes a lot. He was shooting, like, one or two or three a game, right? And people are like, oh, he's not a bad shooter. But you're not a good shooter if you're shooting just one or two stances.
Look, I think there's Nikola Pekovic spacing, and then there's, you know, Grizzlies Marc Gasol spacing. Like, I think that that's different. I think that, like, you know, you're really screwing things up for your spacing if you have a guy who either isn't hyper-athletic like DeAndre, right? Because, like, you're creating separation just by the threat of that rim roll being so devastating.
This
that,
can't be
you
right.
Know,
I'm not buying this. What? They're saying Hassan Whiteside shot 7% of his shots from 16 feet out the three-point line. That's not right.
Dude. Like, he shoots a lot of...
That's not a lot.
Hey, how many Miami Heat games did you watch?
Not a lot. 7 out of 100, still not a lot. All right, come on.
How many shots did he take a game?
So, they're saying he shot... A total of 17% of his shots were from 10 feet out to three-point line.
Okay, so one out of every five of his shots.
No.
17%? That's one-fifth, right?
Yeah, one out of six.
Okay.
I'm not going to allow that.
Fuck you, man.
I mean,
all right, fine. We'll round down. One out of six.
Hey,
how many shots did he take a game?
Less than 13 shots a game.
Okay, so like two or three, yeah.
That's not spacing, dude. He's not a floor spacer. You're not going to.
No, but like, okay. The spacing is better with Hassan Whiteside than it would be. Like, who's just like a total. Who can't shoot at all? You know, like, fuck. I'm trying to think of. I'm trying to think of a team. I remember.
There's order degrees of
Nurkic.
Sure, there's order degrees of spacing. Sure, some he's better than fucking Nurkic. Great. We're building a good team spacing. It doesn't matter. It's not enough to matter. It's not.
No. If you have three elite shooters and then like two guys who can shoot,
realistic.
Like,
what three elite shooters are you going to get in Miami? And don't say Wayne Ellington. Don't do it. He's a decent shooter. He's not an elite shooter.
Wayne Ellington is underrated, but it's not him. But remember, in Miami, we're using Miami as the example for a team getting better. It's a hypothetical team, you know.
I don't want to sit here and build a hypothetical team. I want to be at least build a realistic hypothetical team.
That's why you're not a general manager, dude.
Why? Because I don't
you.
Yeah, because I don't have. I'm sorry. I don't have pie in the sky. Oh, we're gonna get Kyle Korver. We're gonna get. No, you're not. So let's
be realistic. Sitting around and just intellectually masturbating about basketball is what I do.
And it sucks, dude. I fucking hate the
it kind of sucks.
I hate
it. Sucks a little bit.
The intellectual masturbating that people do about basketball. I fucking hate it.
It's kind of
no,
fun.
No, it's fucking like, it's so fucking annoying. It gives me a fucking headache.
I don't know.
When people tell me, oh, well, look how efficient he is. Shut the fuck up, dude. Chris Paul's getting his fucking face kicked in every fucking year by players that are bigger, stronger, and faster. Oh, but the offense operates. Shut the fuck up. It matters.
He's a really good regular season player, man.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I say, too. But, oh, but I'll take that anytime. Okay, keep fucking losing, then, you fucking losers. Enjoy it. Enjoy it when fucking, you know, Jimmy Butler's crashing on his head or fucking Paul George is whooping his ass. Because it matters that that length and size and athleticism matter to the NBA. And I'll take a player that's less talented or skilled than Chris Paul if they have that special something.
You mean like John Wall over Isaiah Thomas?
No, because Isaiah Thomas is a top three scorer in the league. Scoring acumen is a power. It's a superpower. That's Isaiah's superpower. Maybe a top five scorer. Top five scorer in the league. Because, of course, we got Steph, we got KD, Bron.
I thought you admitted that like a lot of it had to do with Al Horford. Like,
no.
I think those high pick and rolls, like, not high. I think that like Al Horford at like, you know, where he sometimes squares up just like at the very like straight line, like straight away shot, like a couple steps.
Okay, well,
free
I mean, a lot
line,
of John
right?
Wall has to do with Bradley Beal. I mean, what are you saying? I mean, sure.
I'm saying that like Isaiah Thomas taking the step that he made this season.
Okay, and
I think
Wall takes the step he makes is a healthy Bradley Beal. We can play this all game. We can do this all day.
Oh yeah. Like, look, I think he's a fantastic scorer, and I think that he's being optimized because of the situation.
He was a 20
like
point
the same
per game scorer when he left Sacramento. He was giving you 20 and 6 in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, he was fantastic back then. He shouldn't have been coming off the bench.
Thank you. My point is he's a natural born scorer, and since then yes. He's gotten better. And sure, he is in a great situation for him, but he's still doing the work. So
yeah.
It's
that's like super valuable.
It's a slap in the face. Like, oh well, he's a good scorer. He looks great because of Boston. He was dropping 20 and 6 in his second season, dude.
Okay. Here's the point that I was going to make on the podcast. It's a terrible okay, point. Is that like I would rather have Gordon Hayward than DeMar DeRozan,
of course.
Right? But Gordon Hayward works well inside of a system.
Gordon Hayward's just
and
a
DeMar
better player. He's a better player than DeMar DeRozan.
Well, yeah, but like he operates within a system and will execute that system by using advantages that already exist, right? But then DeMar DeRozan creates those advantages himself, right? Like Jimmy Butler, like Fred Hoiberg isn't opening any red seas for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has to seize them himself, right?
Yes.
I think Isaiah Thomas can do that. When he was in Sacramento, he had to do that, and that's why he got 20 points a game instead of 30, right?
Okay. Well,
but DeMar DeRozan, whether he was on Golden State.
It was three seasons ago. Players get better the longer they're in the league. Well, not all players, but especially a player like as you see Isaiah, he's gotten better every year he's been in the league. So it's not just, he was in Sacramento, and now 3 years later, 4 years later, he's better. No, he's – I mean, it's part of the arc of development of players, too.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Isaiah could not have done this in this exact same 4 years ago. He wouldn't have done this because he wasn't there yet. That's my
Yeah, but like, I mean, he still, I mean, if you put him in a similar situation with similar coaching, he wouldn't be this good, but he would be better than he was.
Well,
you
I
know,
mean, who knows? But I mean,
I'm not actually making a very controversial argument. Well, it's just that LeBron James is in a system made for LeBron James. It's just that LeBron is the system.
Okay. I mean, he was 20 and 6 at the age of whatever he was, you know, 2 years in the league. That's probably the best he was going to be. I don't know what else you want out of him.
Wait, LeBron or Isaiah? Oh, no, I'm not saying that Isaiah's bad.
No,
I'm just saying that
not.
He's a different type. Like Kyle Lowry is a system player, but
no,
like DeMar DeRozan isn't. Like
Kyle Lowry is not a system player.
I'm not using system like derogatory.
How you say it, and I don't think I get what you're saying, and it's not derogatory, but I don't think like Kyle Lowry has shown he can score individually. He's a team player. I don't think he's a system player.
Yeah. I think that's the nicer way of putting it.
I mean, He's, and again, you're saying that because, oh, well, before he didn't do what he's doing now, 23, but because, again, he got better every year as a player. I don't think it's a system.
Well, dude, I mean, LeBron in the finals a couple of years ago, he had to increase his scoring output, so he took more shots and he was less efficient. Russell Westbrook, for fuck's sake, right? You could put Russell Westbrook in, like, a better system and he would be like James Harden. Like, that's like, how it works, you know? You either are in a better situation so you have more chances to score, or you're in a better system so that you have more efficient chances to take, right? Like, you're either going to be, if you're in a better system,
I get what you're saying. Guess what? 3 years of these players in those same systems, and they're not going to be as good. That's my point. It's like, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, also, a player's only as good as he is at the time, no matter what you try to system you put him in.
Wait, rephrase that?
Like you were saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, a couple years ago, if you put Isaiah, no, he wouldn't have been that much better. Not that much better at all, just because you put him in a different system, because he wasn't that good of a player yet. I don't care what...
He wouldn't be this good, but he would have been better,
no,
right?
Not necessarily. Like, that's my whole point. Like, LeBron James, you put LeBron James in Cleveland from 2007 right now, he wouldn't be that good, because he wasn't this LeBron James yet. Systems have a lot to do with it, but players actually get better.
Well, and that's sort of like what you were saying with Blake Griffin, like in Doc Rivers stunting his growth, yes. Right? Like, it's like, you know, if he had been developing in a system where he could be showing off his playmaking, then that's what he would be, but he hasn't been, so he's not.
Sure.
Fuck Doc Rivers, dude.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Fuck. This will be an interesting offshoot episode. I've got to, like, edit a bunch of cashews.
Damn, you recorded that one? You recorded chomping. That shit, too?
Yeah, I've been recording all of this. Like, why not?
All right, I'm out of here.
All right, I'll see you later, man. Right. @SnottyDrippin. Hey.
Go to hell.